One morning in May, I met old Kit Carson going away. He was going away with Buffalo Bill.
Presenting a report to the American people by the Ballad Hunter. In each of these programs, the Library of Congress presents John Lomax, the Ballad Hunter. For more than 30 years, Mr. Lomax has been gathering the songs of the American people. Songs that were not written down or learned from books, but folk songs of the people, sung by the people, and made into recordings on the very scene. To collect these songs, Mr. Lomax has ridden night herd with cowboys, visited ballad singers far back in the mountains, gone to dances in the country, and spoken to tenant farmers in the deep south. Today we tell you the story of how Mr. Lomax first started collecting the songs of the people, how he was encouraged by President Theodore Roosevelt, whom he met at a rodeo in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
For Big Wallaby and Comanche Bill, they'll lift up your hair on them dreary black hills. The roundhouse at Cheyenne is filled every night with loafers and bummers of most every plight. In their backs is no clothes, in their pockets no bills.
Don't go away, stay at home if you can. Stay away from that city. They call it Cheyenne. If I had obeyed the advice of this song and stayed away from Cheyenne, I would perhaps never have seen the famous Cheyenne Rodeo, the grandfather of all rodeos. 20,000 people gathered to see the vivid exhibition of ranch life portrayed by working ranch hands. I had come not only to see how the experts roped cattle, milk wild cows, bulldog steers, and rode unbroken horses, but also to collect the songs of the cowboys. And it was in Cheyenne that I first heard, "Goodbye, Old Paint, I'm a leaving Cheyenne."
Goodbye, Old Paint, I'm leaving Cheyenne. Goodbye, Old Paint, I'm leaving Cheyenne. I'm leaving
First night
Cheyenne,
I got to Cheyenne, I met my old college mate, Booth Merrill, coming out of a swinging door as I was going into a saloon with my recording machine in one hand and a big horn in the other. Booth said that it was sad to meet me in Cheyenne going into a saloon, and I told him I was just as surprised to find him in Cheyenne coming out of a saloon. Out in western Oklahoma, where I live, Booth later said, the cowboys stopped the fiddles for the last dance, the home sweet home dance, and instead all together sing and dance the waltz time, "Goodbye, Old Paint, I'm a leaving Cheyenne."
Goodbye, Old Paint, I'm a leaving Cheyenne. Goodbye, Old Paint, I'm a leaving.
The next day at the rodeo, I saw the rough-riding Teddy Roosevelt gallop by the grandstand, waving a big 10-gallon white hat and giving cowboy yells. That evening, I went to see the president at his hotel to ask him to write a foreword to my new book on cowboy song. "What do you want me to say, Lomax?" I told him I had not found much encouragement for my collecting work in the West, and that the Western people fail to realize that ballads throw light on Western condition and Western tradition. Teddy Roosevelt added, "Not only that, but the ballads illustrate the curious reproduction of medieval conditions in the West. You take Frank and Jesse James," he said. "Perhaps they carried the tradition a bit too far." Then he stopped and roared out a stanza of the Jesse James ballad. Later, a Westerner sang it in this way.
"Did you ever hear the history of Frank and Jesse James and the four younger boys? But the dirty little coward, the Charlie Charlie Howard, he laid Jesse James in his grave.
When the President of the United States sang, he did not say, dirty little coward. He used a good old American cuss word describing the murderer who shot Jesse James in the back. Finally, the President wrote this letter for my book, Cheyenne, August the 28th, 1910. He began, "You have done a work emphatically worth doing, and one which should appeal to the people of our country." And he ended, "It is a work of real importance to preserve permanently this unwritten ballad literature of the back country and the frontier. With all good wishes, I am very truly yours, Theodore Roosevelt."
Born doll and I, the children, they were brave. But the dirty little coward, Charlie Charlie Howard, he laid Jesse James in his grave. All the people held their breath when they heard of Jesse's death. They wondered how he ever came to die. But the little Robert Ford sneaked in like a thief, and he shot poor Jesse on the sly.
President Teddy Roosevelt went on to encourage me to collect all types of ballads, in addition to cowboy songs. The Jesse James ballad you have just heard has many versions, and it spread throughout the country. In my search, I found a hillbilly mountain version sung in southwestern Virginia. I traveled all through the back country and through the frontier searching for more ballads of the American people, for miners' ballads, for railroad ballads, for cowboy songs and sailor shanties, the songs that the people of America sing while they're at work. In northern Idaho, Blaine Stubblefield, a lumberjack who had made the trek from Tennessee to Texas and then on to the canyon country of northern Idaho, carried with him along the way an Irish-American song called Brennan on the Moor, close kin to Jesse James.
About a fierce highwayman, my story I will tell. His name was Willie Brennan, and in Ireland he did dwell. It was upon King's Mountain he began his wild career. And many a rich gentleman before him shook with fear. Oh, it's Brennan on the moor, Brennan on the moor, bold, gay, and undaunted, stood young Brennan on the moor. A brace of loaded pistols he carried night and day, but he never robbed a poor man along the King's Highway. He robbed from the rich like Dick Turpin and Sam Best, and he always divided with the widows in distress. So with Brennan on the moor.
I gathered many songs that are characteristic of the kind of songs that President Theodore Roosevelt liked so much. In Vermont, a man sang the jam on Jerry's Rock, the story of a log jam where Foreman Monroe was killed, according to the songs of the lumberjacks. Later, Jack Monroe was drowned in almost every lumbering state in the Union.
Come all of you young shanty boys, come listen while I relate concerning a young shanty boy and his untimely fate. Concerning a young riverman with courage bold and brave. It was at the jam at Gary's Rock he met his watery grave. 'Twas on one Sunday morning, as you shall plainly hear. All logs they piled up mountains high, we could not keep them clear. The foreman says, turn out, brave boys, with hearts devoid from fear. We will break the jam on Gary's rocks, and for Eggleston we will steer. Some of them were willing, whilst others they were not.
And from the North Country, as the lumberjacks and fishermen sang their ballads while at work, back in the cowboy country, the cowboys also sang their songs. Sioux Indians is the name of a ballad that the cowboy could sing knowingly, since part of his work was taking up with fighting the Indians away from the trail herds. Alec Moore, in traditional cowboy manner, sings the song like this.
I'll sing you a song and it'll be a sad one. Of a trials and troubles and how they begun. We left the ditch and rid our friends and our home, and across the wide districts and mountains to roam. We crossed the Missouri and joined a large train. We carried us over mountains, through valleys and plains. And often every evening a hunting we'd go to shoot the fleece antelope and a wild buffalo. We heard the Sioux Indians all out on their plains.
And at night the cowboy often became moody and spoke and sang of death. The cowboy's work was dangerous work, and death rode close to his shoulder blade. Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie, where the owl all night hoots mournfully. In a narrow grave just 6x3, oh, bury me not on the lone prairie. The tragedy of death was always with the cowboy. Sometimes he was killed in brawls or fights, or at night in front of a stampede riding a horse that happened to step into a prairie dog hole. There was a graveyard at the crossing of every principal river between Texas and Montana where these boys were drowned, swimming across swollen streams with the herds. Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie where the coyote howls and the winds blow free. Oh, bury me not. And his voice failed there, and we took no heed of his dying prayer. In a narrow grave just 6x3, we buried him there on the lone prairie.
Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie where the wild coyotes can howl o'er me. In a narrow grave, just 6x3. Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie.
You've just listened to short fragments of a few of the many narrative ballads I have stored in the Library of Congress. Ballads made by a man President Theodore Roosevelt happily called Vikings. In traveling 300,000 miles, I have recorded the tunes of more than 10,000 songs. This permanent record of the singing of American people at work and at play is now preserved in permanent form. In subsequent programs, you may hear the music of some of these songs.
Goodbye, old paint, I'm leaving Cheyenne. Goodbye, old paint, I'm leaving Cheyenne.
You have just heard another story told by the Ballad Hunter. The songs you heard on this program were actually recorded on the scene where the ballad singers were found. This program with Mr. John Lomax, Honorary Curator of the Archive of American Folk Song, was presented by the Radio Research Project of the Library of Congress.